I'm Julie Burstein here for Leonard Lopate this afternoon. The early death of someone we love can throw life into a tailspin. For the writer Nina Sankovic, the death of her eldest sister at the age of 46 left a wound in her life that was very hard to heal. So she turned to a pleasure that she and her sister had shared, reading, and decided to spend a year reading a book a day. Nina Sankovic has documented that journey in her first book, Tolstoy and the Purple Chair, My Year of Magical Reading. The book is published by Harper, and I'm pleased to welcome Nina Sankovic to the Leonard Lopate Show. Welcome.
Hello, Julie. Thank you.
Now, before this experiment, you were already a very passionate reader, but you're also the mom of four boys, and the first question I had when I picked up the book was, how did you find time to read a book a day?
Well, the initial plan was that I was going to not do anything while they were at school except for sit down and read. It would be my job. My part-time job would be reading. They would get on the school bus. I would write my review of the book I'd read the day before because I reviewed every book that I read, and then I would begin reading.
And 6 hours might be enough to read. You chose your book by the height, right?
Yeah. But that plan, you know, quickly just got blown out the door because kids got sick and something happened with the cats and I had to go into the city to do something for my parents. And so I ended up just reading wherever and whenever I could. I always had a book with me. So if I was driving the kids somewhere, I would wait for them and read my book. There were many nights when I said, you know, we're ordering pizza again, and they didn't care. My kids were happy with that. And there were many nights when I was up late, very late reading, which was lovely, actually, to be you know, have the house quietly sleeping around me while I read my book. I also had thought everything was kind of organically work in the house. The house would stay marginally clean because everyone would pitch in, but quickly realized, no, we needed a schedule. We worked out a schedule, who would dust, who would vacuum, who would clean, and what things we would just forget about completely for a year, which was the kids' favorite part of the list, things we'd forget about.
Did you do this together, or did you say, all right, here's what the plan is?
I got their input, but, you know, I knew who was better at doing certain things than the other. My youngest is a great vacuumer. The older kids tend to be better at cleaning the dishes. But we have stuck to that schedule more or less. You know, it's been almost 3 years now since I began my year of reading, and we've stuck to that schedule. It's been good for all of us.
I was going to say it sounds like it was an unexpected benefit from this idea that mom has this other thing she needs to do.
Right. It was one of many surprises of that year, how well they actually kicked in and helped me.
As you looked at your year ahead of you, did you set a schedule of these are the kinds of books I read? How did you choose what you were going to read?
Well, you know, I had a few rules that I'd made for myself. I couldn't read any book I'd read before, and I couldn't read any author more than once. And that was a big hardship because, you know, you find an author, a new author, and you want to read everything they've ever written. But for that year, I couldn't do that. So it was 365 different authors. And to find that many different authors and books, I went to my local library, the Westport Public Library, and I visited stacks. I didn't even know were there. You know, there are whole sections that were just collections of essays, memoirs, biographies. I had always tended to stick to the novels and the mysteries, those stacks. And now I was branching out to all these different stacks, and it was fantastic to discover genres that I'd never discovered before and new authors. Our library also buys a lot of translations and a lot of independent press releases. So I was reading great authors that were completely new to me and new to people around me. And so I was really able to share with people, oh, you haven't read, you know, Maggie Estep. She's a writer from Brooklyn. You've got to read her. She's fantastic.
You started this after your sister died. And did you find that there were certain things that were resonating with you because of that desolate state you still were in? It was a while after your sister's death, but from reading your description, it sounds like you were still very wounded.
I was still very, very sad. You know, even though it was three years after my sister died. And what I found in reading was exactly what you said. I found, you know, so much resonance with my own life because so many books are about death and loss, and also about remembrance, the role of memory in being able to move forward in life, the idea of looking backward to have the strength to keep moving forward. And I needed to hear that lesson. I needed to read about people who had suffered in many different ways than I had, but had suffered a loss and figured out a way to keep on living, with hope and with joy. And what's interesting is that, first it just seemed to be that I was reading books about memory, and then I started reading books that had as a big theme guilt, because when someone you love dies, you feel very guilty. You worry that you could have done something more to help them. You wonder why her and why not me? And so many books deal with that issue. And then what I started finding in my books were more lessons on, now that I had understood the importance of memory and of letting go of my guilt, I was learning about the importance of kindness and of intimacy and of family connection and of connection with, strangers from around the world who were reading the same books that I was reading. And it was just a beautiful transition from grief to coming back to life, to a real acceptance of life, and having my sister still in my life through my very closely held memories of her.
I'm speaking with Nina Sankovic, who is the author of Tolstoy and the Purple Chair. It's from Harper. And Nina, as you described that, I was imagining, and this takes place over a year, I was imagining the seasons that happen regardless of whether we're sad or happy, where things die and then they come back, but they're different. Right. And when did you begin this? Did you begin it at a particular season?
Well, I began the year on my 46th birthday, which was a year that that I was approaching with really trembling, because my sister was 46 when she died. And I remember towards the end of her life, I just kept thinking, oh, if she can just hang on to 47. And I don't know why that meant so much to me, but it was just this idea of if you get to 47, that's more time that you've had. And so my own 46th birthday, I wanted to do something significant and something to ground me. My initial reaction after she had died was to be this crazy woman who was going to live a double life, a life for me, a life for my sister. I didn't say no to anything. Yeah, I'll take that class. Yeah, I'll teach that class. Yeah, I'll help you with that. And what it really was 3 years of running like crazy away from my sorrow and not sitting down and thinking about it mm-hmm. or dealing with it. And that's what books allowed me to do, was to sit down and think about what had happened and how I was going to go forward and live a good life, not a crazy life, a good life that my sister would have wanted for me, for herself, for anybody.
And that includes room for the sorrow as well as for the other things that you do.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, I can understand the anniversary day. A dear, dear friend who was almost like a sister to me died at 52. And when I turned 53, there was this thought that I'm older than she'll ever be, which is just an extraordinary, and was very sad.
Yeah.
Very, very sad. When you did this, did you find there were moments where you thought, I just can't read another book today. I really need to just take a break, because it's a lot of input without any time for real pause.
Right. There was never a single day when I woke up and thought, oh, shoot, I have to read a book today. Never. I would have burned out quickly if I had read novel after novel after novel that dealt with issues like death, loss, and guilt. But I interspersed my reading with different genres. I read plenty of humor, for example, to keep me laughing. And humor is a great perspective on life that we cannot forget. So I read a lot of really good, funny books to weigh against the sort of deeper books. Otherwise, I might have burned out. I did, I wrote my reviews in the morning. So I sort of had that sleep time to let it all percolate in my brain, and then I would write my review. But, my reviews are not typical, like, this is the plot and the writer did this well. They're really visceral responses. Mm-hmm. Oh, this book spoke to my sense of loss. I understood this character wanting to be such and such or so and so. So the reviews were a really good way of me to digest what I'd read, remember what I'd read, and be ready to move on to the next book.
You talk about the things that your family decided we're not going to do. How about for you? I think about most of us who are pulled into email for an hour and suddenly 2 hours have gone by. Did you find there were things you just said, I am not going to do this?
Well, email's a good example because it is so easy to get sucked into that. The email, the Facebook, that kind of thing, I did not do. For the first, I don't know, 3 months, all I really did was read and write. And then the kids would come home and I would have my life with them, getting them to their activities or hanging out with them, you know, trying to figure out what we were eating for dinner that would take the shortest amount of time, that kind of thing. But this is funny, but about 3 months into it, I realized that if you sit still for that long, your body starts to change.
Yes. And they say that to writers as well, not just readers. Yes.
So I ended up dragging out an old exercise bike that I'd gotten like in the mid-90s, 1990s. And I started to read on my exercise bike for about 40 minutes a day just to, you know, so I didn't give up the exercise part of my life. But things like, I always liked to garden. I didn't garden that year, you know. I didn't weed. I figured anything green is good enough for me, you know. I didn't worry about the dust that really was kind of piling up in places that no one was really looking anyway, so it didn't matter. So those kinds of things were easy to give up.
You can farm the dust sometimes. Yeah. I think that's a good way to approach it. When you decided to write this book, the book is not just about the books that you read, but it's also about your life as a daughter, as a sister, as a mother. How did you figure out a way to integrate that into this conversation about books?
Well, you know, I had to explain, you know, if you were to say to someone, I read a book a day for a year, a lot of people would think, oh, that's crazy. I had to explain why, in fact, that was not at all crazy for me as a person to turn to books, that it was that since I was, you know, 3 years old, books had been such a part of my life, together with my family. You know, books and my sisters were in my life from the day, first thing that I remember.
And so, your parents who were immigrants, neither of them was English their first language. Right. I found that wonderful too, that in a sense books were a way that you as a family could come together with a common language.
And we did read often. My mother read to us when we were growing up. And we would all discuss, especially during the summer, the different mysteries that we were reading. We were very closely, we were book sharers very much. And so the fact that I would read a book a day made sense to them and made sense to my kids as well. If I had said, I'm training for a marathon, they would have said, oh, you'll give that up in a week. But they understood, she loves to read. It makes sense that she'll turn to books to find some answers.
Did you find things out about your parents through this process that you hadn't known before?
Yes, I did, especially about things that had happened to them during World War II. My mother was in Belgium. My father was in Belarus. They had very different experiences, but harrowing for both of them. And after the war, my father was in a sanatorium for 3 years, a period of time that I really needed to understand what happened to him there. And he'd never really spoken about that to us when we were growing up. And what was so interesting is that I realized his period of time in that sanatorium was his transition between the horrors of the war and the next phase of his life, much as my year of reading was my year between the life that of such sadness I knew after my sister died and a period of what I see now as my future of really infinite possibilities for hope and for joy.
We only have a moment, but it does sound like pause, which is something we don't very much do, is essential.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm trying to keep that still in my mind today as I go forward.
What are you looking at next now that you have this life of infinite possibility?
Well, I'm really enjoying meeting people who are reading my book and meeting so many people who tell me, oh, that's what books were for me. I read, you know, all of Lord of the Rings after my father died and it brought me hope. I mean, I'm hearing that story again and again. One aspect of reading and writing that really interests me are letters and how people always say, ask me, is the book dead? And I say, no, not at all. But letters are an endangered species. So I would like to work on something about letters, the importance of letters in our life. They're as a method of communication and of a connection and of remembrance and memory and all of that. So that's my next project.
And it's interesting, letters, and also in the photos of you, there is such a physical connection to books. You know, it sounds like this is not something you could have done on an ebook reader.
I love holding a book. I love writing in books, turning back pages. So yes, it's a physical relationship.
Well, Nina Sankovich, thank you so much for coming in. Nina Sankovich is the author of Tolstoy and the Purple Chair, and it's available by Harper. It's about her year of magical reading. Thanks again.
Thank you so much, Julie.